your signature this week. No, very upset at you because you worried about your damn self.
No, because I'm worried about renewing my license and how much is it? That's why.
A lot?
$64.
Oh, that's not a lot.
And I could do it online too.
Look at that. Look at God. Anyway, I was really like, I was amped this week and you just left me hanging. Good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of the day you're listening to this episode. Jobber Nation, welcome to another episode of the Jobber TS Podcast. As always, I'm Janelle from HR here with Sir Wilkins and Mr. Black. Shout out to Mr. Black, Mr. Black Show. You can find it on our YouTube page at the Jobber TS Podcast. Who do you have on this week?
Marv Francis, firm you know as Marv Glove, you know, the 22-year-old CEO.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be on this week.
All right.
So I got a couple of surprise guesses. Like,
all right, keep them
guesses.
Surprises.
Yeah.
When they pop up, then we'll know. Before we do get started, I do want to acknowledge and thank every single person that has subscribed to our YouTube page. We have officially hit 1,000 subscribers on our YouTube page, which is, I think, really wild and crazy because a year ago we were at 500. Like May 2019, we were at 500. And then now being a year and some change forward, we're at 1,000. So once again, thank you to all the people that have subscribed to the Jobber TS Podcast. And once again, always tell a friend to tell a friend to subscribe and also follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and all of that jazz. What else is going on this week? How are you guys? Like, I feel like, okay, nobody wants to.
You told me you feel like.
Oh, the one time you were listening. Nah, I don't know. I feel like wrestling's been kind of quiet this week. And I mean, we'll talk about something. Trust me, we'll talk about some things. But what has been one thing that's caught your attention non-wrestling this week?
I've been watching the Death Row Chronicles.
Oh, okay.
And I'm about to watch the No Limit Chronicles.
Okay.
So I'm definitely keeping up with my whole.
Oh, so who won? DMX or Snoop?
Man, I could care less with one. I'm just enjoying the vibe. You know, just see DMX there. You know, just DMX
sober,
healthy,
looking healthy.
And, you know, Snoop Dogg being Snoop Dogg once again, telling the world that you don't like. Snoop Dogg is one of the people in the entertainment industry where, like, evolution is key.
Uh-huh.
You know, he evolved from basically being all about being crippin' and stuff like that to basically being. Making gospel albums, working with Martha Stewart, et cetera, just basically just doing his thing, like, hey, this is me, and not afraid to evolve over the years. And DMX, like, DMX being DMX, but yet you could tell that he's added an extra layer to his character by, you know, praying before, he's more calmer, you know, he understand that. You could tell that he done the work himself as far as mentally. You know, you could tell he went to therapy and stuff like that, because the conversation he had with Snoop Dogg, he was like, yeah, you know, no, I got get at me dogs from you. And that alone, it just shows you that how that just because you give, like, you take from somebody, you give them credit. Like,
right.
Because I see this. When you take from somebody, you ain't dick riding them. You're just saying that, yo, I like that. So I'm going to take it for myself.
Riding in mad long.
No. Because, like we live in an era where, like, we got taught where if you give another person a compliment, you dick riding him. You understand? If you big up somebody, oh, you necking him. You know, you're doing too much. But yeah, we don't give each other enough. We don't give each other enough compliment, build each other up. You know, it's not a black and white thing; it's just a people thing. You
That's
understand?
True.
Like, why the hell that we have to wait until someone dead for us to say something? You know, understand?
Yep, give people their flowers while they alive.
Yeah, and I hate that we big up celebrities, but what about your man's who over here?
Your man's
up,
at the bodega.
Yeah, the bodega that who comes to work every single day consistently and make sure your sandwich tastes good. Or the man's your man's that. Who's a father of four or five or mad kids, single dad, doing it by himself, big him up.
Yeah.
But you don't.
I understand that. So, okay.
You think a future toxic behind, but not your man's who actually doing the right thing.
You said who's toxic?
Future.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, he's not the only one, though. Sir Wilkins, what's one thing this week, non-wrestling related?
First things first, our engineer was calling me out. I told him to turn on my mic.
He you said, can't throw our engineer under the bus.
Shout out to Gotham for keeping us safe.
Yep.
And cleansy. I don't know if that's a word, but I just made that up. No, cleansy. he wouldn't turn my mic up because he said, I'm going to yell. I'm not going to yell this episode. I bet you $5 I won't yell.
All right, put it on the table. Let's put it on the table right now.
First things first. Yeah, I said it. You owe me $5. If I don't yell this episode, I get $5 off.
I got it. We got it recording. So.
But you got to be hyped because mad black shows are coming to Netflix.
Ooh, oh, Netflix. Man.
Tomorrow. Court. Sister, no.
It's what's not tomorrow? Tomorrow.
Yeah, no. Saturday, August 1st.
August 1st.
It's going to be, I think
Sister. I think it's
Sister.
Moesha.
Oh, yeah.
My Mozada.
Isada. No, Moesha.
My son Mo, aka Q.
Mo.
With the ugly jeans that she had.
But what's crazy is
that
like.
That chick was ugly. That chick was ugly.
I don't know how many seasons they were in, but.
They had 10 seasons.
What?
And they didn't finish it off because we found out about Ray J being her brother.
Right.
And then they didn't finish it. And after Miles got kidnapped, and after they found his little shoes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Little Kim kidnapped him.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, but then the thing is, they never finished it, and then Homeboy ends up dying. So yeah. Rest in peace, King. Hakeem, rest in peace. Man. Hakeem ends up passing. But you know what? They got the game coming.
I'm mad hype about One-on-One.
Half and half.
Half and half is an undiscovered gem, I feel like, because
underrated.
Most people, yes, because most people don't talk about half and half. I'm like, yo, that show was lit. You know, like, and then sister coming and classic. Like Netflix caught. That's why I had put when I found out about it yesterday. Girl, I wasn't a big Girlfriends fan. Even gonna hold you.
Miss Tracy Ellis Ross, you are a goddess.
I think the concept is dope. I think like I would envision like me and my girlfriends having that type of show like that.
It's better
but
than Sex in the City.
Just a
no, that's it's debatable. Sex in the City. It's exactly the same characters.
Yeah, but what's name is better? Like Girlfriends is better.
It's Sex in the City.
Like
it
I
is
cannot
it, no. He is 100%
like,
right.
I can't relate to, like, how the hell are they finding these apartments? Unrealistic.
Carrie's apartment was rent control. That's how. And everybody kept wondering, like, how can she afford it? It was rent control. She kept getting checks because she was a writer. And
you don't make that much money for that much rent. Like, your rent was not that
bad. Her rent was, like, about $700.
Yo, she was rent control. The whole fucking, I think, 7-8 seasons that they had.
That's unrealistic.
Rent control. That's not unrealistic. You have people that live in the Lower East Side that have been in brownstones, like, around, like, 18th Street.
Privilege right
for,
there.
Like,
that's privilege.
It's
no,
not even
no,
privilege.
No, it's not.
It's just
so,
they've been around for, like, 40 years been there.
So, anybody that doesn't live in New York who's listening right now, because this is a mad New York conversation. Rent controlled in New York means that they can't raise your rent for the most part up a certain amount.
Like, yeah, for a certain percentage.
A certain percentage, they can't raise your rent. So, in New York, if you get a rent controlled apartment,
you keep that shit forever.
You keep the shit forever and hand it down to your kids. So, you're probably thinking, what's the big deal? Rent in New York City, which we're talking about,
it's
Manhattan,
wild.
Is wild expensive.
Actually, all the boroughs. Like, don't get it gas. Like Brooklyn, you be out here. Listen, downtown Brooklyn, a fucking condo can go for $1 million, like type of shit.
So,
like,
but before we continue, I'm gonna say this out loud. I didn't tell you guys I was gonna say this. Joe Bellini, the owner of Warriors of Wrestling.
I don't know where this is going.
We can't fuck with you anymore, bro. I'm gonna put it out there.
What he did now?
Nah, it's. We gave you a platform to talk about...
Totally unscripted, by the way,
unscripted,
guys.
Unscripted, but we gave you a platform, homie. No, you're not homie. We gave you a platform, guy. My guy.
My guy.
Hold on, you're not even my guy.
My guy, okay, my guy.
We gave you a platform, this guy.
That guy.
To talk about... To put... No, you know what? To put rest to the rumors about you being racist. Maybe you're not racist. I don't know. I don't know what your heart is. But you're very ignorant.
Beloved, I don't know your heart.
And you're stupid.
What'd he do?
He just he's been posting some wild shit, especially because of the Black Lives Matter movement. And you're coming off very ignorant and stupid. And a few people have made me aware of it. We don't support you. We do support our brothers. Prolific.
Absolutely.
And Tyree.
To the day we die.
But I'm going to be honest. We can't fuck with you. This guy.
It's just unfortunate when people, it is just like just people in general, it doesn't have to be wrestling related. They will allow they will shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
Literally. It's like literally, and it's not even on like, I don't want to give like the notion of like talking about hanging yourself, but it literally is like you give someone the rope, they will definitely take it and figure it out and hang themselves. Like, and
from the looks of it, like he usually has cute, so I didn't know I'm from Staten Island. Boy, listen, man. At this point, man, you refuse to learn. You refuse to grow.
Listen, Google is king.
Thank you.
Google YouTube is a university.
YouTube,
like my brother said,
is a wonderful place.
Everybody got telephones. You can easily call a black guy. Like a black guy, literally, you have a roster full of black people. Like you easily talk to one of them. Say, what's the conversation? Bring them one in. They have understanding. But the fact that you don't take the extra step, that's on you.
But the thing, it's bigger than that because you're a promoter. You're an owner of a company. So when people, when you can't, I hate when people use that excuse of, yo, I have black people on my roster. They make you money.
Yeah.
That's why they're on your roster.
Yeah.
They put butts in
seats. They put butts into seats, and that's why they're on your roster.
And we're
so don't give me that excuse of like, oh, I'm not racist. No. You could still be a racist and still hire black people because they're working for you. That conversation needs to be had with these white promoters. Like, nah, I'm not like that. No, you are like that.
Yeah, and don't think you putting on, you know, black wrestlers is going to overshadow what your true intents are. Like it's just, at the end of the day, it puts everyone in a position where you just got to have your own. Like, as us as a people, we just need to be able to come together and build some wonderful shit together. But the problem
is just like, when it comes to us as people, I'm talking about black people, like, I'm not going to address people as a whole. Cause I'm not going to all live matter this at this point. But within us, let's have this conversation. Like, we got taught not to be united. For example, like, growing up, we got taught, if you want to have a good lawyer, you got to be Jewish. That's not right. Where with a black guy,
I fucks with Jewish people, good, though.
Huh?
Yeah,
I fucks with Jewish people.
Yeah. But no. But I'm not saying that, like, how
I will
that,
hire a Jewish lawyer, though, my nigga.
No.
I get what you're saying.
I think, like, I think you will hire, you should hire the person, yes, the person that will get you that. Right, correct.
Yeah, but we got taught that, for example, someone's good with money, or hire a Jewish person. No, somebody's good with taxes. My tax guy is black because I understand that he understands the concept of it and he's relatable. I could talk to him on certain stuff.
I could hire your friend when she passes the bar.
Yeah. I have a ton of lawyer friends.
I had to think about it. I hate when everybody be like, yo, your friend. And I'll be sitting here like, yo, do you know how long that list is? But then when you gave me that nod, I was just like, yeah, I know, like, exactly.
Just
who
like
you're
with a lawyer,
about.
Like when I have, if I, God forbid, if I get legal trouble, I have a dream team of lawyers that who are black.
You said I got a dream
like,
team.
Like, literally, I do. And that's a flex.
That actually,
right there.
I would just not talk about that because that just sounds like some OJ shit that you just said.
Yo, listen.
I'm not even going to hold you. I'm
as
just
a
like,
person that who's going to be successful, you got just about. Shout out to Kevin Hart. I'm so sorry. Cat Williams. He said that you have to have a team around you. Literally. Like, I have a team of lawyers. I have a team of educators. I have a team for everything. Because I understand that.
How many people are on these teams?
Listen, does not matter. But in life, you guys set yourself up to the fact that just in case you need anything, you could go to certain people.
Like, look at Vince, man. Look how many cases Vince got through?
Yo, Vince? And because it's Vince one got guy. The army. Like, fuck a team.
No. It's just one guy. This one guy is super nice. JR talked about it in his book. And I forgot his name, man. He said that, yo, he's the best one he's ever seen.
Yeah, because, all right.
Since the army of one.
Since it was like a slow week in wrestling.
Super. So, like I literally.
But let's,
anyone that's listening, I literally. So, every week, the day before or the night of, or the day of that we record, I always text the boys, like, topics for this week, just so that we have an understanding of what we're going to talk about, not going in depth into it, not saying anything. Like, I literally, this morning, as I was watching AEW, had to, like, I had to look mad hard for shit to talk about this week. No, so, it's been a little,
But let's really look at it. Let's pull a Talk of Champions and go back and go into the past real quick.
Well, shout outs to them.
Yo, if you look at Vince's past, because, okay, I've always said this, I've said this before, when you're a CEO of a massive company, you have to do shady shit, point blank.
You're going to do some shit you're not going to be proud of.
You're not supposed to do it on the moral level. You shouldn't be doing it, but the reason why you're a CEO, because you see money, you see green as more important than morals.
But that's the thing, though. Like, but that's one way to do business. You don't have to do it.
You don't have to.
You don't have to. But at that level.
At that level, because the reason why a CEO gets paid the money that they get paid is to make hard decisions. And I get what you're saying. It depends what you want. But Vince is about the dollars.
Yes.
So I'm going to, I know what you're saying, but let's rewind. He's about the dollars, and he's also about people who are loyal to him.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's where his moral compass kind of like.
It kind of balances because he'll do some dog shit, and everybody look at him like, Vince, really? But then the people that has been loyal to him for over 25 years and that he'll throw dollars at just for even just stepping
outside of the umbrella. Like you said about JR a couple weeks ago.
About when he lost his wife. Yeah. Like, he didn't have to do that. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. But the thing is like, his lawyer
is nice.
His lawyer's on Jordan level goat status.
Oh my God. Remember we met the lawyer of Jim Cornette at WrestleCade?
Yeah.
Oh my God. He's the dopest, nicest guy I've ever met.
But he has to be that.
Because Jim Cornette's an idiot.
Yo, exactly. Not random story. But so when we were at WrestleCade and we came back from like a show or something.
I want to interview him.
And I got him a friend of mine on Facebook because we were chopping it up. And then it got to a point where I was like, I don't know if he's trying to holler at me or if he's just trying to chop it up. So it got really weird, but he was cool. So I just was like, fuck it. And I kept telling him like, oh, at the time, you know, we were planning for Jobber Slam. So in my mind, I was like, well, I befriend him. There's a shoe that Jim Cornette could pop up to our shit. Like, I'm okay with that. He's controversial, but he's one of the few people, honestly, I would love to sit down and interview.
I feel like Jim Cornette is honest. I feel like
everybody can take that honesty. Yeah, yeah. Like I had listened to a clip of his podcast. Because basically the way that they do their podcast is like they'll have viewers like send in questions and he answers them. So this week somebody had sent in a question about Cody mentioning that heels and faces are like null and void these days. Like we shouldn't be worried about heels and faces. And Jim Cornette being the old school. Okay, right. So that's what I'm saying. So Jim Cornette being the old school guy that he is and being someone that loves the business, and regardless of what you may think of Jim Cornette and his antics and things like that, he has a special love for the business that no one really has.
Everyone,
and that's just what it is.
Like JR, they always
like you may not like him, you may not love him, but you will respect the same. You will respect where he's coming from because he has a love for the business that no one has. So back to his lawyer. So it was around the time he got dropped from NWA because of the chicken comment.
Yeah.
And so we came into like the hotel bar where everybody was hanging, lounging, blase, politicking. And I had ended up talking to one of the guys that was running a promotion in West Virginia. So but Jim Cornette's lawyer was standing next to him and then we started chopping it up and I was like, oh, you know, I do a podcast, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, oh, tell me more about it, blah, blah, blah. And then then the guy was like, you'll never believe who this guy is. And I was like, who? He's like, Jim Cornette's lawyer. I said, shut the fuck up. I said, no, it's not. And then literally the guy had pulled up Jim's like information and like was telling us stories about how he got Jim out of like legal trouble. Nice. I was like, yo,
but
like,
that's you need a fly lawyer. But
yeah, like legit.
Thing is too,
and he was like
is.
In the cut. So you did like he, once again, regular degular.
Yeah.
But he was really cool, and he understand like whether it's like on a lawyer client privilege or just people in general that you like your team, they got to know who you are and they have to respect. They have to respect and know who you are.
That's the key thing about having a lawyer, and this is go back to what I say. This is why I have a team of lawyers who knows me. So if I say something, they go, "No, my client da da da." He cleans it up. You know, shout out to Chad and Randa. Shout out to y'all too. You know, y'all awesome people. Randa's a young lady. That who just passed the bar. Chad is the OG of the game, you know. Good people around me, you know.
But so we're not gonna talk about Cody saying some dumb shit?
Yeah.
Like, oh, about the heels and that was the only. So I sent the clip to Zuka because I was like, because he loves Jim Cornette. So I had already sent it to him. He's like, I already listened to it. And I was just like, bro. Yeah, but I was like, let's talk about this for a second. Like,
Cody sounds stupid because in real life, there are good guys and bad guys. Yes, you have layers of good guys and bad guys. If you watch movies now, a lot more of your good guys and bad guys have layers to their characters now. But in real world, there's good guys and bad guys. There's people out there who do you dirty for no reason because they just have evil in their heart. But in the same token, they over here will give out to the... Look at Nino Brown. You know, he's over here, you know, he basically corrupted the whole project, took over, and basically did what he did. But yeah, he giving out turkeys at Thanksgiving. You understand?
I mean, because he's... See, that's the catch 22.
That's the catch
22. With drug dealers, because exactly. Drug dealers, in retrospect, they looked like the bad guys, but drug dealers will put money and stuff into the neighborhood.
But the thing
and
is,
so it's a, that, it's way. So hard.
Because literally, yes, if the drug no. dealers was really... No. I'm going to say this. If the drug dealers was really doing their job, a lot of our buildings would not be owned by people that who don't look like us. It would be owned by us. A lot of them was too busy in competition with each other to say, you know what? Let's really buy the block. I mean, this is my block.
But egos,
no, it's not.
Egos
this
got,
is not your block
egos
because
definitely
it's owned
took
by
it
the
to
city.
Another level.
Right. So...
finish. I'll say my point.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that how that, like you said, the drug dealers, like, yeah, they are bad guys, but at some point, you're still the bad guys because instead of you just give out, here's a turkey, here's a bag. But really, you didn't really invest into the hood. Like, you're supposed to, like, hey, let me actually get a building to have the inner city instead of taking over a building and just making it to like a crack base. No. You understand? And that's where, and that's where I'm coming from. And that's why, like, neighborhoods are gentrified right now because, yo, gentrification has the pros and cons. The pros, all these new healthier options coming to the neighborhood. And, yes, they do employ people within the neighborhood, regardless of skin complexion. Yes, that's a positive. But the negative, they raise the rent. And people who live in these houses, like, they say the rent for a two-bedroom is, like, $3,000, right? This is, I'm throwing a ballpark number.
Not a ballpark and number. It's actual factual.
Dang. Well... and after they pay that much, you think that two people paying it. No, it'd be four or three people in each room paying this rent. And this is why they're able to afford it, because they on top of each other. And the same token, people who's doing that, they'll make fun of quote unquote people, immigrants. Say, oh, look at them, they're on top of each other. But bro, you're doing the same exact thing.
Yeah, but to go back to Cody's comment, Cody has a point, but then Cody is still ignorant.
Yeah.
So one of the things Triple H said it. He was like, it's really hard to have a white hot baby face in this current generation.
Because no one's gonna believe it.
No. Yeah. Because nobody's gonna believe it, and people are just angry people. They're just it's put like
yes, yes.
So Cody needs to reword what he's saying. You mentioned something of you watching movies. Everybody got layers. What it needs to be done currently in wrestling is give characters layers. Give every baby face, every heel layers.
They're trying to do that now.
No, they're trying to do it, but they're
not rejected.
But the people will get it. The thing about wrestling fans, they're never going to be happy.
Never.
So the industry has to, like, WWE does it to the extreme where they're like, yo, I don't care what you guys said. We're doing.
We're going to do what we want to do, and you're going to like it. Eventually.
Yeah, and then AEW goes, you guys don't like this? Okay, what do you guys
want?
We'll change. So they're both on the both sides of the extreme.
Yeah, you need both.
But you need both in some type of... But what it needs to be done currently is that you need to give your characters layers. A point where... And this is going to take entertainment value. This is going to take more charismatic characters to pull these off. Like Drew. Drew right now...
Stale as fuck.
...is... your typical 90s, 99, 96 baby face.
Damn.
And he does a pretty good job at that. But we got to add layers to that.
They do.
And hold on. They don't.
They don't.
They don't fully.
They don't, because if they did, I wouldn't be sitting here saying he's stale.
No, they don't. You may not like him, but some people like him.
No, it's not even that I don't like Drew. I just don't like the fact that if we're going to look at it on a different scale, the layers of him, it's still, it's if you're going to have layers, like layers on a cake, right? You're going to have, let's say you have different flavors for the layers of the cake.
Okay.
His layers of the cake, it's the same fucking flavor.
Yeah, because because this takes
so you
time.
Can vanilla.
But it takes time. It takes time of evolvement because you have to, doesn't every superhero get frustrated? Think about it. Every superhero, every comic book that you read, wrestling is real life comic books.
Yeah.
And I always say that, comparing it. So... there's been times Batman has almost cracked, but he didn't go all the way. He continued being Batman. There's times Superman, which is the epitome of a baby face, has almost cracked. Uh-huh. So you gotta throw that in there, but in a more creative way.
But they did with the whole Heath Slater. Like, literally, that literally added layer to his character, because Heath said that, yo, just like when you went out, I called you and hit you up. I literally called to make sure you was good. I'm keeping within the story.
He just did a really good promo. It wasn't even like the character layer type shit.
It did, because if it was an arena, people would low-key would have booed Drew for that. And that's why, and they said it showed that he's a flaw. Like, dang, I have my issues.
But that's a one time thing. That has to continue. Consistent. Because what you could do right now is you could throw in Jinder's injured, but let's say you throw Jinder in there.
I'm waiting for Jinder.
Jinder and McIntyre have a conversation of like, yo, bro,
you left us.
You left you the separation. You build. The one thing I will give Bruce Pritchard is the storytelling has gotten a little bit better.
Exactly.
But it's still not to the point of evolvement into the current climate. It's hard to have a baby face because we understand people have flaws. Why did The Rock and Stone Cold, because people always want to go back to that. Why did The Rock and Stone Cold work out?
Because, I said the most greatest point when I feel like it hit, like, the pinnacle of it, where, like, I felt like it was just, like, is when it was the My Way. It was the My Way basically promo, the whole package, stuff like that. And Stone Cold basically
was WrestleMania 18?
That was WrestleMania 17. Okay. You know, X7. You know, one of the greatest WrestleMania I ever seen. Commentary was on point, everything. Made my dick hard straight through. Okay. So, reason why that was such a great layer, because it showed either it was no baby feel, just like we were just two hot people. Because, for one, Stone Cold's hinting at his heel turn. He said that, I need this win. No matter what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go what I have to do. I'm paraphrasing, but he did that. The Rock said that, yo, listen, I haven't beat you, but I'll make sure I beat you.
But you see, so...
It was layers to the character.
Yeah, it's layers.
And they attack each other like heels.
But the thing about it...
Because they said that, yo,
but how did we get there? How did we get there?
But Austin came... The first round, the first time they fought, Austin came off as the face.
No, but it's...
And Rock was more of the heel because of how he talked.
Yeah, but the thing about it, regardless...
You both shared them.
They both went back and forth. They were both faces.
Yeah.
Because that was the first time two white hot baby faces went up against each other.
Yeah.
But the thing is, how did you get there? How did you show that? Because the storytelling that's being, once again, you're comparing gods on the mic, but I'm going to use the god level type of shit. They got there. They told the story about going back and forth. And it's like, I'm not perfect. The problem is, they still have the whole concept of how Hogan was, and they still using that old formula. The sad part about it, the Attitude Era was an accident.
Yeah.
The Attitude...
It was that beautiful, like, storm that it was an accident.
But the Ruthless Aggression Era perfected that.
Yeah,
And they went away from that formula.
They went away from the formula, but it also was an accident because you look at Jeff Hardy, white hot baby face, but he's flawed.
Yeah.
So you have to show flaws. You look at Undertaker. If you want to go through this aggression, look at Undertaker. Flawed.
People can see your password.
Oh. That's not what password?
What you about to send, you got to get a password after that. So make sure that no one sees that on camera.
Yeah, but it's flawed. Like Savizza said on the thing, everybody's a bad guy. We're all bad guys.
No, but the thing, and I'm glad you brought up Austin, the thing that always bothered me was the way that they for years gave Austin and McMahon the battle of a lifetime. And then the moment these niggas hugged on national fucking pay-per-view, everything was erased. Everything was like,
And it
was unfortunate because it was towards the end of Austin's career. So it gave that ending of like, it was weird.
It made sense. Like, okay, Austin didn't like it.
It never makes sense.
Like, to me, it makes
sense. You would have an ongoing battle with your boss. And you were always the guy everyone rooted for and cheered for it and had your back. Years down the road. Back and forth. And then your boss... And you hug it out.
You want to hear a story?
How would that look outside looking in?
I'm going to tell you because I've been through that situation. That's why I tell people like, yo, real life does happen in real life.
But real life is real life. But however, if you are a character where this is the guy you've literally gone to battle with for 10 years.
It makes sense in real life.
He said it though. He said it in the promo. He's like, I'm gonna do what I have to do to beat you.
Exactly.
Because I need
to hug Vince.
But the thing is,
it left a bad taste in my mouth.
It left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, but you have to understand he made a deal with the devil.
Exactly.
The devil was Vince McMahon. So at that point, you go, shit. They did the heel turn way too early. That you are right about that. But the move doing that is, I need this. He said it in the promo, and that's the beauty about great storytelling. And that's why they need to adjust to the modern times, which is why you need younger people in the writing room, and you need Vince when he's eating his steak sandwich.
And that's a bad thing. And this is why, shout out to Eric Young, this is why Vince is failed a lot of people as a leader.
But has Vince failed a lot of people, or has Vince failed the people that have said that he failed? Because Vince hasn't failed. I wouldn't say Vince has failed a lot of people. But those people that felt that and they don't feel the connection, or they don't feel the bond that they have with Vince, they have every right to say that.
Eric Young said this in an interview, and he said this recently, you know. He said that he explained this. I have a great, him as a person, he loves. And he says that. He's like, yo, Vince as a person, he has a connection. He's a good person. We always talk on a regular basis, this, that, and third. But you have a character like me that who could do everything across the spectrum. You forget, Eric Young had his own nature show at one point that was kind of successful on Destination America.
Yeah.
He literally was a comedy character. Like, he literally was a serious leader. He had different phases of his career. And then you look like Vince. Like, Sanity worked.
Literally, Sanity worked. Definitely. Guess what? I was mad at how that fell apart. Sanity
couldn't go to the main roster because it was something with a copyright issue with a T-shirt, and then it just split up everybody.
Again, the thing was is that, and I think that's the beauty with NXT, I do think stables work a little bit better on NXT than it would have on the main roster.
Because you know why? Trips... Impact.
Stop calling him Trips.
Oh. He's Trips. What do you mean?
His name is Triple H.
Yeah, but
His name is Paul.
But I'm not going to sit here. Unless I meet Trips another two more times, I don't feel right calling him Paul. So that's not happening.
It's Paul Levesque, ladies and gentlemen.
Him.
Yo, Stephanie, man, love that.
That's him, hot. Him, Impact, AEW, New Japan, and all these other wrestling companies understand the value of factions and tag teams. Vince don't like tag teams. Literally. He don't like factions like that. So for a man that who don't think highly of certain stuff like that, how can factions and faction and tag team elevate to the way they are? Honestly, I'll be very real with you. Yes, I love the women's division, all of that, what they're doing in WWE, this, that,
oh, okay.
Great, like, progress, what they're doing. But I yet to see a tag team match, main event, a pay-per-view. Ever. I haven't yet to see that.
I'm never putting that on.
Because
I would never put that.
No.
I would open a show.
But my thing is this way. That's how you know that, because tag team is what it is. Because you literally get four people different over. Imagine if they closed our pay-per-view with the Usos versus the New Day in a Hell in a Cell match. Come on. Because that match literally stole the show. Imagine if it closed out Hell in a Cell. Because Hell in a Cell is Hell in a Cell. Imagine that closed it out. That was the best match on that card that night.
The thing is...
that's what I'm trying to say. Vince does not like these certain stuff. This is why if you're in tag team on faction, it's like there's a chance that you may not dismantle them.
I can agree and disagree with you on that one, because if you really think about it, he doesn't. But he does if it's money involved. Because we forget, literally, there is a pay-per-view called TLC. And that's from tag teams. New Day has stayed together for such a long time.
The longest.
Of course.
Usos continue to stay together. And that's the reason.
Because there's money, though. Of course.
But the thing about it, with Vince, I get Vince on a, like I always say, it goes back to what I said earlier about being a CEO and owner of a company. If there's money there, he's going to push it to the moon. Because they're like, tag team wrestling is, I love tag team wrestling. I just love wrestling. So I'm not, let's be honest. But tag team wrestling works when there's money there and when the right people are there. Like, how many times have you seen Uso and New Day go up against each other? But they kill it every time, and we love it.
And if you put the bar in there too, that was good.
Yeah. They love it. And they love it. At the end of the day, I think it really comes down to this. Money. Money, money, money. And I said it on the last episode of the podcast. Where does the company sees dollar signs?
Right.
But you look at Eric Young, this wasn't his pawn.
Of course.
This he was the smallest fish in the biggest pond.
This wasn't his pond, and it's and, okay. It's
you said that, I think, a couple of episodes ago, you said that how that sometimes okay to be the big fish in a small pond.
Yeah, and it's okay. It's okay to go to Impact and kill it over there and
but
do
see,
your thing.
But being the big fish in the smaller pond concept goes back to kind of Finn going back to NXT, though, a little bit, because he's had that he was the first Universal Champion. You know, he had all these accolades, and everybody shitted on it, was like, well, it's a degrade. You know, it's a downfall. That's what I'm saying. It's not. It goes with that concept of a big fish in a smaller pond concept, because you can be that, and then you are there to help others look a certain way. Because
Finn is a lot older. He just looked good for his age. Finn is like 40-something.
Why am I saying older?
That's because he doesn't eat carbs. Older.
Huh?
He doesn't eat carbohydrates.
Yo, listen. No, when you older. Give up bread and carbs, you take away all that water weight.
Well, it's bread and carbohydrates raise your estrogen level, so that raises to a point where you hold on to water.
Yeah, water weight.
So, yeah, yeah. No, but I'm saying the reason why because it's so
ladies understand that.
Hence, why I don't eat bread like that. Like I love bread. This is why I don't buy bread in my house or eat spaghetti like that, because I literally will go up to like 250 like that.
Well, that was a health note from the Jabba Tips podcast. But
you get your health tips and your wrestling reviews. Yeah, but
I see what we're saying. So what's next on the docket?
Let's talk about real quick. Eva Marie's hosting this new show.
Oh, that shit look lit.
That shit looks and I'm mad because I feel like it's the first time I'm hearing about it, and like, I feel like we all know 5/7 of the people that are on the show. So we pull it up real quick. So Eva Marie is scheduled to host this new show, actually scheduled to air on Facebook Live tonight in the Tonight World. But those that are listening to the podcast, it will be already available when you do listen to it as well. And it basically is a reality series following a day in the life of women who are trying to make it in the wrestling business. And the clip that's on her Instagram had literally all the familiar faces that we love to see. So it had Diamante, it had Kiera Hogan, it had Big Swole, it had Willow Nightingale, which I know you love.
Please,
I know. And shout out to Willow for coming back from that neck surgery, because that shit is no joke.
Through the wire.
That's jaw, though. I got what you were saying, though.
Through the wire, B.
Literally. So Sir Wilkins is going to play the clip so you guys can hear it. So I think it's a really dope concept. And especially focuses on women in wrestling.
Action.
We're in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I am filming a movie with Bruce Willis and an amazing cast.
My bad.
Wrong clip.
Sorry.
Babyface is the person you want to fight for. The heel's a bad guy, person that you want to hate. I get to be whoever I want to be in the moment. No matter who tells you no or you can if you have the hard determination drive to get there.
I'm Natalie Eva Marie. I'm here to share with all of you the stories of 7 women as they make a living in the one-of-a-kind world
on air.
Of professional wrestling. They are
Marty Bell,
Faces and Heels.
Faces and Heels. How excited are you for it, gentlemen? Like, I think it's so dope. And I think it's dope that it's a lot of the women that, you know, we've come to close contact with, we've spoken to, we know. So what do you look forward to most seeing in this little series that's going to come out?
Seeing Willow again, because I haven't seen much of her work ever since her neck surgery. And, like, I'm a big fan of her work. Because I feel like Willow is a type of, like, she's a type of wrestler, like, especially for her size. Like, I just feel like she could hit hard.
Uh-huh.
She could be funny. She could be mean. She's basically a total package of what you want in a women's wrestler. Like everything you want. And I feel like just to see her back in the ring, I'm excited. Everyone else, of course, I'm excited for everyone else. Shout out to Diamante, killing on Diamond last time and recovering from ACL injury. And shout out to all the women that we came across. But for me, Willow will always be the one where, like, I always look out for, like, let me see what Willow
is
doing.
Is it because you have a crush on her?
No.
You sure? Okay.
No.
You wouldn't bag?
Yeah, but I won't go hard. Like,
you won't go hard?
No.
So who would you go hard for?
One person I would go hard for is...
Why are you doing this to him?
What do you mean? First of all, he's notorious for doing that shit to me. put me on the spot.
Who?
So
who would I back?
Thank you. Who's and that, I can't even ask you anymore. So.
Who's that woman that was the African champion?
Oh, Trisha.
Oh, man. That's a woman. Like, she has natural hair. She's dark skin. I know she smells like cocoa butter. I know she smells good. Yeah. And like, I know you touch her skin. It's nice and smooth. I know
sounds
that.
This is very inappropriate, by the way.
Sounds satisfying.
Listen, all I'm saying is she's beautiful. I know that she know about healing, the black seed, or the power of the black seed oil, power of, like, herbal heal. I know she know about that.
She got a whole ass man, though.
That does not matter. Because
so just say respectfully.
Yeah. Because like I'm not saying nothing like.
Yo, I gotta go.
I'm not gonna pull like a Sammy.
I gotta go.
I'm not gonna pull like a Sammy Guevara on her. Huh? No, that's disrespectful. Yo, I'm saying that.
After fucking Lulu, we will not get canceled because your ass don't know how to close your damn mouth. So
but,
no.
But that's why I didn't say that, and that's not. I know. But
appreciate
like,
you.
I'm saying that. Yo, if the opportunity comes.
Yo, Sir Wilkins gotta go.
And she said that. Yo, you try to back?
Respectfully. Yes. You gotta go.
Nah, no, you will not. Because she got a whole ass man.
I said if opportunity come up.
Listen, she got a whole ass man. I get what you're saying, young man. But she
dying
got a whole
here
ass man.
Slowly, listen, is what
whole ass man.
I mean, listen, just like in the hood, like when you walk with your shorty in the hood and your shorty looking right, damn, your shorty got a fat butt. Yo, thank you, my nigga. You like you don't get offended because me, I'm a man that had a if I had a girlfriend, I'm with her, someone give a compliment. I'm not self-conscious about that because I understand that your girl, make sure you look good. Make sure your toes is right, everything, like just like with me. I make sure my shape up, I dress good, I smell good because I understand that she's a representation of me and I'm a representation of her.
I totally understand that, but I know her man. So that's why I'm just like, nah.
Yeah, I got to go. Because
I know her man.
I gotta
listen,
go.
You know her man and I don't. And listen, my nigga, like,
debatable.
Sorry. Listen, King, you picked the good one.
Oh, perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. And we shall move on. What is next on the docket?
You did this.
I did do
and
it.
And I
you did do
your
this.
Question.
I didn't. You do it to me all the time. Are you kidding me?
I mean, it's not my fault that you like DJs.
When have I ever liked a DJ?
Next on the docket, please. Next on the docket, please.
You want to inform me of something I don't know? I will listen. I will validate.
Can we move
will,
next on the
absolutely
docket?
Absolutely, we will. But
the
I will.
Type of event that
I will
like
validate
workers.
That's listen. We living in the pandemic, bitches. Get you an essential worker. Like I don't know. That shit is not bad. Like you said it like that was the worst thing ever. That is valid. Like I'm not mad at shit. Thank you, my nigga. Because I'm not. Come on. Thank you.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing
that's
wrong
what
with
you
it.
Like,
there's
you
nothing
know,
wrong with it
workers,
though.
Listen.
I think every female should definitely get her a round of an essential worker, nigga. Part of their lives.
Yo,
like,
what is next on the docket? I don't want to talk about essential workers. Trisha Adore having beautiful cocoa butter skin. And I do not care. Can
I
we respectfully move on?
Yo,
please.
Yo, you have to chill. Like, I don't
yo, can we move
we'll
on?
We'll move on if you chill out.
Yo,
I can't.
Can we move on?
So,
shout out to Trisha Adora. I know you got a whole ass man.
Yo, I can't.
He's a champion all over the world.
Yo, I gotta
like
go.
Legit.
Matter of fact,
multiple championship belt.
Who's that man?
I'm not gonna talk about this on this
nope.
podcast
because
we are not chatty patties. Can you move on to the next on the docket?
Are chatty patties. So,
this is wild, and I don't want to talk about
okay,
this.
Okay, you know what? My bad.
Yo,
my bad.
We are too respectful.
Yo, this episode is turning into the indie black wrestling.
Yo, I would
shade
love
room
to,
right now. Well, I don't want to do this.
Oh, no, but I would love to.
Next,
I'm not supposed to be in the shade room of the wrestling because I'm not trying to be DJ academic. Like, no,
no, shade room and DJ academic are very two different things, though.
Yo, what is next on the docket?
So, rumor has it. What?
I said they both promote negativity.
No, Shade Room on Instagram doesn't.
Up.
Come on.
Shade Room
yeah,
up.
Don't do that.
DJ Academic didn't.
Right, and that's that nigga's fault. Anyway,
yeah.
So moving on. Rumor has it WWE has some special plans for SummerSlam this year.
On a boat.
So rumor has it they've been looking at alternative locations in the state of Florida to host SummerSlam, since SummerSlam unfortunately cannot be in Boston, Massachusetts, as it was originally planned due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So question to the table is, would you rather see SummerSlam on a boat or would you rather see it on a beach?
Oh, shoot. Dang, that literally be Bad Shot at the Beach. Man.
Man.
Honestly, just for like aesthetic, to me, it's something like personally, it's just like, and this is what I realized about this whole pandemic, far WWE wise. It allowed them to let Vince be creative as possibly he could be without no restrictions. And honestly, I think that's dope. People complain, oh, Vince is this, that, third. Honestly, yeah, he has some crazy ideas though, but some of it worked and some of it don't work. But that's ideas in general. You know, I can relate to that because there's some crazy idea I've done in the past with artistic view and stuff. I'm looking like, dang, that actually, surprising that actually worked. But stuff that didn't work, I didn't make a big deal. I'm like, all right, cool. You move on from that. And if they have it at the beach, that's a great way to like, hey, you know what? We should do this more often, have little side events, especially with NXT at the beach. Next time, NXT can be at Bash at the beach. Or WWE could partner up with a cruise line, like WWE cruise line. You know, every once in a while, you have a wrestling event on the cruise. That's more money for WWE. That's
and
more
people
money
for gonna the bitch line. And moan and say they stole it from Jericho.
It doesn't matter. Because
I'm just saying.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter. Because the TV title, the TNT title, they stole that from WCW. It does not matter.
I mean, they stole like, pretty much the
nothing
for
is new underneath the
WCW
sun in this world. Nothing is new. Like
everything's said, recycled. Period.
Like the Bible said, there's nothing new underneath the underneath the sun. Shout out to the Bible. But overall, it just shows you that
G-O-D-A,
yo,
you know what I mean?
It does not matter. And so what? He copied off Jericho, and he tried to run a business. It's just like, hey, listen. If I see somebody like, if I'm watching a YouTube video and I like the way how they do certain stuff, I go, I like that. I'm going to use that for myself. And I do. Because I understand that, yo, listen, to me, that's a compliment. Like, you know what? Someone asked me, hey, how you got the idea? I saw this on a YouTube video. Kevin on stage, shout out to him, this, that, third. I'll admit that. Because that's me. But at the end of the day, you're running the business and you're trying to bring up ratings. And you're trying
to
change aesthetics.
And I'm going to go to you, sir, real quick, this follow-up question. Would you rather the whole show be at one location or would you rather one match be at that particular location? Because as we've seen, you know, they've done the swamp match for Extreme Rules, and that was kind of like the one thing that was off-premise, the graveyard match. It was the one-off on the off-premise. So would you rather SummerSlam be in its entirety at that one-off location? Or would you rather see one match at that one off-site location?
I feel for us, the viewers, we've been seeing the Performance Center for so much months on pay-per-views, every show's like that. I feel at this point, we need some new aesthetics. You know, people miss WrestleMania being outside with everything like that. And honestly, the people want to see something new.
Mm-hmm.
And I will put it at a beach. A beach could either on the beach, I could put it on a ship, whatever. Either way, it's cool aesthetics. Imagine, you know, my son Drew McIntyre on a Titanic, like he said that
Titanic
in the world,
sink,
he had a title like this. Ah, you know? Imagine Sheamus doing that, like this, as the wind flowing through his face. You know, you see a seagull in the background.
Damn, you know, it's crazy. That was the promo for WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
Because
me?
Of Tampa Bay. Oh, so, memories.
That's cool. And guess what? All the props you couldn't use, you could use that at the beach. You feel
all
me?
Right.
Like I wouldn't mind seeing a pirate ship on the beach, chilling there. And you see some people in the audience on a pirate ship looking like that. And next thing you know, people are brawling. The street prop is brawling on a pirate ship. That's cool. That's something new. Like, yo, so what? It's not traditional wrestling. At this point, F it. It's 2020. Nothing's the same. Literally, like, come on, like, the government gave out free money. That's proof that they could do, they gave black people free money. That's a whole other story for another day, but something's cool. So I'm for
very
it.
Very factual, though.
I'm for it.
All right, Sir, because what are your thoughts on the possibility of SummerSlam being at a boat? Or maybe would you see it on a beach?
It wouldn't be a a bad idea, because, like my brother said, it's it's something new, and it gives different aesthetic. To go back when people was like, well, Jericho did the boat first and then WWE is going to copy. Let's rewind. If you remember the segment when the Inner Circle got orange juice poured on top of them, the original concept for that segment was Orange Cassidy come out with an orange, with a juice truck and spray the team.
Now, if they would have did that, I would have definitely been like, what the fuck?
That was the original concept.
Not even going
but the reason why they couldn't get the trucking to come in a certain type of way so it would look, it would be able to
logistically,
it wouldn't be able to work out. So where did they get that idea from? Kurt Angle, Stone Cold, WWE. And there's nothing wrong with that, because if they did it to
Vince and Shane and Spirit Squad with the shit.
Yeah.
And so, I want to pop for that.
No, and I want to pop for it too. And it is what it is. Things are recycled in wrestling. So if they were to do it on the boat, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Mm-hmm. Would Jericho be punching air and be tweeting? Yes, he would. And there's no problem with that because.
Keep talking about it. Thank you.
You have a boat. You did it first. So you can take the credit. Now, I think it would be dope them do multiple locations, like some Street Fighter shit. Like,
oh, yeah,
they have a boat. They have on the beach.
Submarine.
No submarine.
No submarine. No submarine.
In the water?
No submarine.
They're not fighting
in the
water.
Not in the water.
And you see like a shark come out and Brock catch it, and F5 and like the commercial?
That's my funny, but no.
No. Maybe in the jungle. They can fight in the jungle.
Ooh! That's hot. That's hot. But that's low-key racist. They might put black people in there, so no.
Fight in the jungle or something. And, you know, there's different things that they could do with it. And then wrestling is at a...
construction site?
Yeah, wrestling's at a really awkward point right now.
It is.
Variety just did an article on wrestling in general, how that there's a... Well, WWE, because I don't think anybody considers AEW, like, premier wrestling yet. No disrespect. But, like, the mainstream media doesn't. They've been talking about the declining interest when it comes to wrestling. And they didn't capitalize, AEW either, didn't capitalize on the fact there was nothing else on TV. And they didn't fully capitalize on that, whatever, tier there. So new ideas and doing different things is needed, especially the fact that the NBA, all sports are coming back.
Yeah.
There was a schedule that was put out, and it's every single day sports is on.
Oh, man. It's like the NBA lockout, man. Man.
So every single day they're playing sports. And wrestling has always had a hard time post attitude era of competing with sports. So this is needed for them to do this and be creative, try to figure something out, and us fans have to support it.
Yeah. Because now essentially when you think about it, it's kind of like wrestling is now coming. You know how like you had the WCW and WWF like Monday Night Wars, and then you have the Wednesday Night Wars and things like that. Essentially, wrestling has always competed with other sports.
Yeah,
legit. Like you have either the Monday Night Football game, or you have whether it's All Star Weekend or Super Bowl, whatever it is. Wrestling seems to always be up against a higher sports like viewership.
Okay,
going to be looked at as like you're not meeting the quota, but it's just like.
But my thing is this: some people say wrestling is not as popular as before.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think it's true because ratings are down on the NBA, NFL, across the board. Nobody's talking about that because nobody's reporting that. Because ESPN ratings are down, mm-hmm. Everything is down.
Well, it's what.
But guess what? Us wrestling fans are so deep into it. We also report. Like, for example, they said that Raw had like a million something views, right? Boom. A show, like they said, like The Flash, if it had a million views, that is a success.
But you're doing it on what their it's expectations.
That's
what it is. So you're doing 1.3, you should be doing 2 point something.
Right, because every year, you know, every quarter, as a business, you sit down, you have the quarterly meetings, and you do a P&L, and you look at profits and losses, and you see, you know, where the mark was. Are you under? Are you over? That's just business.
Yeah, you need a mark to go by.
They're still moving merch.
They're moving merch, but the thing about it...
Not at the same level as they were 6 months ago.
What it is they're not getting new fans.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right.
Where people aren't coming. They're losing core. The main core, like me, like us, still watch it. But they're not gaining new people. Because every time you have a business, you want to gain new people to come in to start looking at your business.
Right.
So I think that's where they're at. Where the interest level hasn't particularly gone up. It maybe has gone down a little bit. But then you also got to realize... I can't feed my family. I'm not worried about wrestling right now. My
Priorities are different.
Yeah, like somebody's dying in my family. Things are going wrong. I'm not worried about that right now. I got worried about keeping the lights on.
And I can watch wrestling anytime.
Says something else. I can watch wrestling anytime.
Because it was literally the only thing that was on.
I could go on YouTube. I can do that. But it's tuning in. And some you might even just forget about it because I got so much shit going on. Because the world is on fire.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Burning.
But where this is why I always say meet halfway. Where WWE needs to do is like, how do we get people to... We give them that escape. How do we bring them in for them to continue watching it?
But here's the thing about let's go beyond wrestling, but just life in general. Everybody's so caught up of nostalgia. So caught up. Like, for example, let's say someone who hasn't watched wrestling in years, and let's say let's keep WWE, they see a guy like Drew McIntyre. Oh, he's not like The Rock. He's not like Stone Cold. Da-da-da. Bro, that's all they care about is nostalgia. And that's the problem. That's not a WWE problem. That's the world problem. For example, I know people who stopped watching basketball once Kobe retired. Some people stopped watching basketball once, you know, Jordan retired. And people came back when Jordan came back. You understand? So we live in a world where, like, people love nostalgia.
Yes and no.
For example, right? They remade, how many movies? Prime example. They remade RoboCop, right? It sucked. But people saw it opening weekend because they just loved the whole...
RoboCop? Why didn't they make RoboCop?
They did. Yeah, it sucked.
Really?
Yeah, it sucked.
They remade RoboCop?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it was not. The storyline was terrible. Like, yo, listen.
When did they remake RoboCop?
Like, a couple years ago.
Is it on Netflix?
I don't know.
I gotta look this up.
Yeah.
Because I love RoboCop.
Yeah, like nostalgia. And it sucked because... Certain stuff that they got away with in RoboCop, they can't do it now because they try to appeal to a wider audience.
But okay, so you mentioned the NBA, right? The NBA for me is more like wrestling because it's less people involved. So the NBA, yeah, it looks like shit, but I'm going to check it out because strictly for styles, like he said. I'm going to look at it. but the NBA sets themselves... It just sets himself up. So look at it like this. Kobe, superstar. Next generation is LeBron's era, right?
Now it's Zion.
Now it's Zion. So it's still got supers. And that's what WWE hasn't been able to kind of figure out. And AEW is this new, so people just kind of just looking at it. But when it comes to WWE, it's the concept of next stars.
So question, who's the next biggest star that's in WWE right now?
Oh, it's the women, because that's going to lead the company to, like, the next generation. It's the women, because let's really break this down. You have a Sasha Banks, money, you know? That's a black woman, you know? Now you have a Bayley, a Spanish woman. And now you have a, what's that lady's name? You have an Irish woman. Do you understand? Now you have a Nia Jax. And you throw a Nia Jax. You're throwing the UFC girls. You have Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler.
Baszler.
You have them too. So you have different varieties. So the women are going to usher in a new revolution.
But I'm asking the question though: who is the next biggest star? One person. That's what the issue is. So that's the question.
But then again, though, I realized that you're not going to have one big star. You're going to have, like, okay, there's two different types of stars. There is wrestling famous, and there is world famous.
But I'm asking, so
I'll say it. I'll give you one. For me personally, Mufasa Ali is a superstar.
Yes.
And the thing is, nobody's going to give him a chance because of his size, but... Mufasa Ali, to me, is a baby face.
Yeah.
That's a pure baby face, and it could work on multiple reasons. One, his in-ring ability is great.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a fuck about that. Let's be honest. Yeah. In-ring shit doesn't put butts into seats.
No. Well, it does.
It does, but it doesn't. Number two, he is actually legit good on the mic.
Yeah.
As a baby face.
Yeah.
And he could play a heel if he was put in a position.
Yeah.
They need to push him to the moon.
But the thing that made Mustafa Ali relatable is because of his background.
It's yes.
Not because of skin complexion, because in today's society, you need somebody that who's been through the trenches with you. Like, he was a cop.
Yes.
So he understands racial tension and all of that.
He understands, but it's more about the fact of what he does on TV when he's giving a chance. He does great. He is great. And I think they need to push him more. Big E, another guy that needs to be pushed when the time is right, when they decide to fucking do it. Biggie's another superstar.
But he been cooking.
He's been slowly cooking. That's another superstar.
I mean, but that's a good piece of meat.
But pause.
Mm. You didn't say it.
Yeah, he's good because, but, for one, like,
he but had, I meant in terms of like how he's nice been tender, right, like, because you look back at even as far as the NXT side of Big E to then going through that, then being with Dolph, and then being with New Day now. Like, the progression that he's had has been probably one of the best.
His mic skills got way better.
He's
entertaining as hell. And in-ring ability, like, one thing that I have to say, shout out to Booker T. Like, Booker T said it. Like, people say, oh, you know, Biggie need to turn or, like, be more serious. But, like, if you realize the New Day matches, Kofi turned on to extra level. Like, when they fought Cesaro and Shinsuke, you felt the extra level of him intensity. Yeah, boy, talking trash. Biggie been talking trash because he understands that, yo, even though I'm a heel, I got to next level because, yo, you've been dogging me for weeks. Now, that's why the match was so intense.
But that's what I said. I've been saying on this show for so long. It's match psychology. That's what it is. Hey, if you look at what's going on, I'm fighting from the bottom. I'm going to show you fire. That's why Kofi got tight. Like, yo, let's go. That's the whole point of the thing. And the reason why I said Mufasa Ali, because he knows how to tell a story in the ring.
Buddy Murphy is going to be his Joker.
Yeah. And the thing is, so if you watch Bobby versus Mufasa Ali on Monday.
Good match.
Why was it a good match?
Ooh, because Mustafa sold. Mustafa picked out his spots.
It was a really good story being told in the ring.
He made the Armageddon look good.
That's the point, because Bobby's twice his size.
But a believable match.
Yes, it was a believable match. And the thing is, that's another level of talent. And
nobody
picks that up. Like, why was Sasha versus Asuka so good last week?
Ooh.
And it was because they both did the little things in the ring. She fucked up on a spot.
But she fixed it.
She fixed it.
In mid-air. It was crazy.
So, since we want to talk about Sasha and Asuka, how do you feel about the ending?
I thought it was great.
The ending, Ember Moon recently got on the on Booker T's podcast. I really think she should just
wrap it up.
Go into commentating or Shorty's good at that.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie to you. Shorty got a talent when it comes to that. It's crazy because her mic skills aren't that great.
That's right.
But when she speaks on like things that she's passionate about, like she just saw like a YouTube thing. Do something. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she talked about how she didn't like the ending because Asuka running to the back wasn't life or death. Like your friend's getting beat up. It doesn't really add anything to that.
But then again, though, okay, I see what she
means. But it's that loyalty of, like, as a friend.
I was just about to say that, and, like, everybody like, trashed it.
Yeah, because, you know, because I posted on the Jabba Tia's podcast Facebook group. I was like, yo, who's a better friend, Bailey or Asuka? Because at the end of the day, as a female, like, if one of my homegirls was getting jumped.
But Ember not from the hood though.
But regardless of the, she don't understand that mentality.
She doesn't understand
but
that.
But regardless, Ember, but those that are listening and later. Viewing, that at the end of the day, if your homegirl or if one of like that's like somebody messing with your brother, and you in the ring and you just continuing your match, but you still see someone messing with your brother,
right.
What are you gonna do?
Right, I'm gonna say like, this right. I'm gonna say this right.
And
this
sense. Is she this left
is,
the ring
right, and this is how I see it. And I thought about it. I read everyone saying that. I say it this way. You rather her lose by a roll-up?
That's what... I wrote that.
Right, how many times you
are
seen
you kidding
a roll-up?
Me? How many times have we like flipped tables because we saw a person win on a roll-up?
Shout out to Simon Miller. He literally has a roll-up count in WWE. He said that it's about to hit like 60-something. People been winning by roll-up. Boom. You rather see Sasha with a roll-up? Oh my gosh, she won. Or next You trying to, like, shout out to Real Life Cass. And he break it down on a podcast. He said that, yo, Raw wrestling is shot as a show. So, Sasha and Bayley are villains of the show, like, of their little program they have, right? Mm-hmm. And to prolong that program, do you want it to end just right there and then? Or you want something where, like, it add a layer to the storyline? Now, right. For example, Asuka, yo, I got screwed over because the whole ref. You took my title, you didn't officially win it. Now, you beat my friend up. And like you said, it's loyalty. Like, if you're in the ring, mind you, it was a good competitive match.
It was a great match.
So, she's in the ring, and she hit her, she's like, nah, you violating my dude. Let me go in the back.
Like, I need to fix this real quick.
And guess what? After that, she was furious. Now you add the fury to her. And guess what?
Now she's going to come back 10 times harder. Right.
Now, let's compare it to, you know, media, right? If I'm watching the Avengers, right? Mm-hmm. Literally, the Avengers could have ended the way it did. They could have really ended it in one movie. But yet, you felt compassion when, like, dude took Vision. Took the Vision Stone right out of his thing to make Star Wars get angry. Like, yo, I want revenge. It forward the storyline because that was her story. Like, yo, I want revenge against this man who took my man away.
Facts.
It forwarded it. Now, let's compare it to an anime. In the anime, you know, My Hero, right? There was a scene where, like, yo, Endeavor's like the number one hero. It's a superhero show. Endeavor was getting beat up, this, that, and third. And then he never gave up. It add layers to that man character Endeavor. People forget, yo, stop watching
guess
wrestling.
What? Wrestling's next week.
Yeah.
You like, gotta have something for next week.
Like, thank you. And even in sports, right? Let's say how that James Harden is bopping dude. Let's say in the NBA Finals, right? And James, like, the team is up by 3 points, right? Mm-hmm. He's bopping dudes, da da, going to the rack. Next thing you know, you see somebody hitting his moms. You think James Harden gonna keep on playing? No.
You
say, nah, I hit my mom's. I'm going there and we're fighting.
But my
and
issue.
This is, and like, prime example, if you go into a job interview, let's make it more realistic. You go on a job interview. You're on the bus, right? And then you see your man's fighting somebody, he getting beat up. You go, oh, nah, I'm getting off, bus driver. Let's go. Nah, let's go. I'm brawling with you. If anybody say that, they won't do that. Real talk, stay away from me. You're pussy. Cause I don't even know pussy niggas around me. Because at the end of the day, it's all about loyalty. And Asuka in Japan, she took the mentorship. And she used to call her
sensei. But that's just
the
Japanese culture, though.
And she called her sensei.
They definitely support each other.
Just like that, she's older than her. I'm going to look out for you. It is my duty to make sure you always are good. And it's for the storyline. Now, people complain about, yo, Sasha is a black woman. And Bayley is a Spanish woman. And they did them wrong with the tag team titles. So now they're making it up by making sure, you know what? This is a great storyline. Now, when we go back, the two-woman power trip. They literally, they're not whacking the ring. They're both entertaining. Bayley stepped her game up.
And I will Sasha, give Bayley that.
And guess what? People's like, oh, Sasha's the lackey of her. But guess what?
Nah,
Sasha
they became both hold their own weight.
Evolving the character in that storyline.
Because I really want to know, like, people that, you know, say, like, oh, that was the trash ending. If Asuka would have won.
What's next?
Exactly.
And guess
like,
what?
How Some fucked up. Weeks, and honestly speaking, if Asuka would have won, it would have buried Sasha. It would have buried everything the both of them have worked on for months. So
and guess what? It protected.
Asuka losing.
And guess what?
And the way that she lost, she didn't look crazy because exactly. She was protecting her friend.
Exactly.
And Sasha looked like the bad girl because
Thank
now
you.
She's still, without her friend coming to ringside
Thank
and interrupt
you.
The match, her
Thank
friend
you.
Fucked up in the background. And so it all made sense.
And guess what? They both look good.
Yeah.
Because
And Asuka, honestly speaking, I didn't see it coming.
Right.
Asuka, I would say that.
Right. Asuka never officially got pinned in the first match at Extreme Rules.
Because now Asuka can always say, like, you never pinned me.
She never pinned me. And to people saying that, oh, how can you lose, like, how can the title change during, like, a count out? You don't pay attention. It's obvious that you don't pay attention. Because Stephanie Mann said it, and, you know, shout out to Tom Phillips. He said it 5 billion times throughout the broadcast. Y'all don't listen.
No, it's the story. It was well done. It
leave room for so much more.
But I think people are waiting for Bailey versus Sasha.
Yes.
Why do it without the audience?
Correct. And I think, and that was the whole premise of why they ended up getting the tag titles and why they didn't break them up, was because the original plan for SummerSlam, spoiler alert, ladies and gentlemen, the real plan for SummerSlam was to have Sasha Banks versus Bailey in Boston.
Where is that was happening? Where is Sasha from? Boston.
So right. So they were building up to doing that.
Extra tickets.
Then Corona happened and there's no audience. So they scrapped that because they said, you know what, let's keep them together a lot longer so that when we do break them up, we do it in front of an audience.
So randomly, I couldn't sleep last night. So I was watching like how much these motherfuckers get paid. So you mentioned about pushing Sasha and Bailey, like being the face of the company. Yo, did you know Becky Lynch was selling more merch than everybody in the company?
Yes. Yep.
Including men and women.
Yes. Yep.
Including men. Like,
because the kid, because right, once again, right. Men and women, her yeah. market was to kids. So the kids, it's just like the John Cena effect.
Thank
kids,
you.
Parents were buying Becky Lynch shit because the kids wanted Becky Lynch.
No, but I'm just saying, like,
so I believe it.
That is wild.
A woman.
A woman. And it shouldn't be that way, but.
RP to China, because China was the trailblazer that people forget about.
So people don't understand that they put a lot of these women in positions of like greatness. So one of the key things.
I'll say something after. Like, hold on, I'm gonna say it real quick. Reason why that storyline makes sense, because it was not over a man, it's over no makeup, it's over friendship. That's what the whole thing's about. You mess with my friend, I'm gonna come and get you.
Yeah, somebody on Twitter was like, "Yo, why isn't this match made on the main event tonight?" Hold on, and I was like, "That's a good point, because it is. They're both like fucking amazing in the ring."
Right.
That ending, it would have been weird at the end of Raw.
No, but they put him in a key point of the show. They put them in the beginning
of the third hour.
Ooh, yeah.
And nobody realized how important that is of putting...
Because people drop off there.
Exactly.
That's the drop-off point. Because that's actually why...
People fall asleep.
When certain, like, you may have, like, let's say, like, if Brock came out and they would promote, like, oh, Brock Lesnar's coming on Raw or something or whatever like that. They would wait and hold Brock to the top of the third hour.
And that was like... Because when somebody mentioned, I was like, why are you... I was like, all right, I can see that. But then hold on. I was like, and I looked at the time. I was like, it's 10 o'clock. Oh.
This is when I get sleepy, but I'm not sleepy.
So what they just did was show the power of the women in the company. And it was pretty fucking dope when I realized. I was like, holy shit. They're doing their thing low key. And I guess we'll talk about Raw and this week in wrestling.
Actually, yeah. So since we are about towards the end of the episode, let's get into this week in wrestling. Once again, we're coming off of Extreme Rules on the WWE side and also Slammiversary on the Impact side of things. So we'll go around and we'll say like two, three things.
You talked about Slammiversary already.
No, but we're coming off of it. So like this week was the first full week Eddie Edwards was champion, and then he faced Trey, that opened Impact. You had the Good Brothers on Impact debuted. You had Heath. I'm really excited about Heath versus Moose next week, but that's neither here nor there. But anyway, let's go around real quick. Two or three things that really stuck out to you this week in wrestling. Doesn't matter from where, who, when, where, why. We'll start off with Mr. Black.
Big E, you know, like the whole storyline, him getting
pushed. Putting your meat on my meat?
Listen, man. Put a meat on my meat. And they did it on purpose, to be funny. Like, people don't understand.
No,
like,
people understand.
If you listen to New Day podcast, they say wildness just to be funny. They don't care. They come like, put your meat on my meat. That was hilarious. And guess what? It's shareable. Now everybody's talking about
that. That wasn't the first time he said that. So that's why. Right. Yeah, because if you do listen to the podcast, you wouldn't know that.
Right. It's shareable. And now everybody's talking about it. You keeping Big E in everyone's mind just by that moment. You feel me? Mm. Now, when the audience come back, you're going to see somebody put your meat on my meat. Ha-ha.
That's a t-shirt, low-key.
Right.
It's mad gay.
I don't care. Mad
gay.
I don't care.
So someone came up to you and was like, yo, bro.
Put your meat on my meat. That's mad gay.
But if they loved you, like...
My second one is... Oh, man. Man, I don't really know. From AEW Dark? Oh, man. I have to say,
where all the black people go.
Darby Allin, when he took the skateboard out with like the whole thumbtacks.
The thumbtacks. Oh, that was dynamite.
Dang,
man. See, I watched it this morning.
To me, that was cool because a favorite wrestler everybody knows in AEW. It's Darby Allin.
So let me ask you a question. They had him tag with Moxley this week. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of AEW, I watched it this week, guys. So at the end of AEW Dynamite, they announced that next week is going to be Darby Allin versus Jon Moxley for the AEW World title. Now, do you think... I don't want to present this. Do you think if Darby doesn't win, does that, how does that affect him?
It doesn't, because he's still in the top five. Like, he's still in top five contenders for that belt.
But and then if he loses, he drops out of that number five position.
Listen, he can go down to number six. But then again, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, it's all about making how well he's going to, Moxley's going to make him shine in that loss. And it's going to be the Undertaker versus Jeff Hardy. That didn't hurt Jeff Hardy's stock. That didn't hurt Undertaker's stock at all. It actually raised both their man's stock up. Uh-huh. Because after Jeff Hardy lost, he said, yo, I ain't done. So if Undertaker beat him up again, he raised his hand up like, yo, he's next up.
Now, better question. Is there a clear face and heel in that match?
Nah, it's face versus face. Yeah. But it's all about, you see, and this is why it's all about creating somewhat legacy for both of them, because they're both crazy. So you accept Darby for doing crazy stuff. You accept Moxley for doing craziness. So it's okay, because that's their character. You love them for that. Now, if you see more Orange Cassidy, someone like who's a face? Like, who's only a face in AEW?
Orange Cassidy is a face.
But, like, he understands when he gets mad. So it's different. So OD face like a Sunny Kiss, right? You see Sunny Kiss just hitting him with chair shots, all of them. Like, whoa, that's not a Sunny Kiss character. Sunny Kiss is more the go-lucky type of person that who does coolness.
Yeah, but then it goes to adding another layer to the character.
But my thing is that you won't automatically boo him, because that's not something abnormal. That's not that's abnormal for Sunny Kiss.
You'd be like, oh!
Right, but people might boo him. But now, if Darby or Moxley do something crazy like that, you're like, yeah, these dudes are crazy.
Okay. All right. So Darby Allin. And you know what? I give it to, once again, they got a gem in Ricky Starks. I'm sorry, sorry.
Shout out to Taz, let him talk.
Because that promo he did right at the tunnel, I was like, oh,
I like that camera angle.
Shit.
I like that camera angle.
So
what they call their tunnel? Like what they call
it? The impact tunnel.
No. What they call their gorilla position? They call it monkey position or something?
No, I mean, I think
you
it's.
You got that joke? You got it?
I didn't. See what I did? It's a little racist, though. Anyway. Anything else this week in wrestling for you that jumped out?
Diamante. Shout out to her, you know, watching her grind from shout out to Battle Club, from Impact. Like, I've been a huge fan of her. Mm-hmm. And to see her get another shot at what she deserved, to me, make my mom. Oh, that, and shout out to Naomi Partner and how to introduce her. Like, to me, that was great, because...
You mean Cameron?
Cameron, like, to me, I liked it.
I was saying here, Naomi's partner.
Because
what?
It was great. It wasn't something, like, traditional. Like, it was great. And it was just like, dang. You see, shout out to Vicky Guerrero. Oh, my God.
So, that's the thing, too. I think the Vicky and Nyla partnership actually really, really worked.
Thank you.
Very, very well. I don't think it's stupid.
Should have stupid.
Because
Nyla doesn't need that. Nyla does not need that. Like, you're literally why are you doing it? Nyla doesn't need a mouthpiece. Pause. Like, at this point, like, and I totally get it why you're doing it, but give it to another chick that could need it more.
I forgot Zack Ryder.
But I don't think it. Oh, speaking of Zack Ryder,
bump that nine thing. My son looked like Brian Cage.
The Strong Island. He does not look like Brian Cage.
He gained some weight.
Yeah, like
he gained some weight, but he don't look like no damn Brian Cage.
His mask is just like Brian Cage.
I mean, the best thing about this week was MJF's promo.
He did the State of the Union.
Yeah, that was pretty dope.
And he challenged. He put his big dick on the table. He said to Jon Moxley, "I want to face you all out, September 5th. Leave it, take it or leave it."
Yeah, but it's one of the things. It's Shorty coming on. What's Karen?
Cameron.
Her being on there, I was like, all right, cool.
That shit is not really cool.
I definitely think she's like Brandy's homegirl, low key.
Always surprised.
That's why she got the kick. And so I ain't mad at it.
So here's my tidbit, and you can continue talking about your ups and this week in wrestling. But my issue is that, so I like the concept of how they're picking the tag teams.
But it's on YouTube though.
That's one. And two, how would you do your tournament for, like, it's kind of like the Dusty Rose, like, tag team classic. That's kind of the vibe I got. But you focused on that instead of really focusing on building the next person to challenge your women's champion.
That's the problem.
That, to me, it's like, it's almost like the elephant in the room, but it's just like no one's talking about it. And it's just like, wait, what? Like, how the fuck? Now I'm going to dedicate and gear all of my attention to this tournament that who knows what the people that win it get at the end of the day.
YouTube is their network.
Yeah.
Is their WWE network. Yeah.
But yet they have a whole agreement with TNT.
Yeah, but the whole agreement is for one show.
Yeah.
Actually, they were supposed to add another show.
Yeah, but COVID.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that because of COVID. But
they're going to add another show like years later, but not now.
Nah, yeah, it's COVID.
Yeah.
COVID has ruined a lot of things.
I just think, I mean, once again, I like the concept. I definitely like the concept of how they selected the women to tag with each other, because you may get like a... if Britt Baker was like able to compete, you could probably get Britt Baker and Big Swole being a tag team. Like, but that type of like mysterious, I can dig. But
Vicky Guerrero should not be with Nyla. She should be with the champion. The champion needs a. The champion can't talk.
Yeah. Well, the champion can't do much but wrestle.
Yeah. So why would you put? You need to elevate your division. You putting Nyla is like giving Nyla a cheat sheet.
But my thing my issue is they're focusing on the wrong things instead of focusing on the foundation things that's going to help you build as a brand.
Listen, this is the problem with AEW, in my opinion. They're so like, hey, we're not WWE, so we're going the complete opposite.
They're booking with events. They're booking with a grudge.
No, they're booking because it's only one person taking care of that. It's only one person in the writing room. It's Tony Khan. It shouldn't be that way. Granted, WWE has like 30 niggas in there.
There's other people. Jericho writes.
Yeah, but the thing, he's a wrestler.
So that's the hard part. It's like when you do. So you see, like how. So I read an article how Edge and Daniel Bryan have been writing it, been at the creative table.
It's been different.
Which, honestly speaking, probably one of the best things that's happened, because right now Daniel Bryan is waiting to be a dad number two, and then Edge, you know, once again, contractually is only wrestling 4 matches a year, so he's already done 2. So you got to space out that time, but he still is under contract and still can work for WWE. Yeah. So I think utilizing them in that way definitely benefits better. So when you're not on camera and you're not juggling, you know, different hats, I think having a person in that room works. So that's why I definitely don't think like any of them niggas is not at the writing table, because it's like you're writing and you're wrestling and you're doing commentary and doing.
It doesn't.
Pick a position.
Why not get somebody that can do that full time? There's plenty of writers. That work for WWE, you can bring on. You bring a lot of WWE wrestlers, which is fine.
Even though Impact did it better.
It's fine, but bring on some more, like one or two. I'm not saying get a whole 30 people in a room like the way WWE does it, but get 2 or 3 more people.
Get a woman.
Get somebody of color. Get somebody with different perspectives than you, Tony Khan.
I won't say person of color. Somebody who understands the culture.
Yeah, it's. But the thing about it, you
I
need
still to get a person of color.
You need. You need different perspectives.
You do.
Tony Khan is writing from a Marx point of view.
Yeah, yeah.
and the thing about it, that's good because you love wrestling. But you need somebody with a different mind too in there, so y'all can make a new recipe.
But you don't. You know what? I don't know if JR's in the writing room. I don't. You know what? I gotta ask
he
somebody.
He needs
who's
to get off
AEW.
Commentary. So.
Like, no.
If you want to put him in a writing room, by all means, but get that nigga off commentary immediately.
Because JR been holding it down, and I like JR.
He's definitely not been holding it down. He definitely has said some wild shit and is not consistent at all.
Listen. When you've been having something in your ear for how many years? To kind of like filter stuff you say to make you say certain stuff is good. But then again,
no, JR, but if you're 20, 25 years in the game, it doesn't matter if someone's in your ear or not.
No, bro, he's like, yo, he's filthy rich. He does not care. Like,
and
he's
it shows,
happy.
But don't, honestly, don't, like, listen, if you
JR.
Don't care, then don't be on the mic.
I'm happy for JR. Like, JR is actually
yeah, if you're not
going to
be passionate about
when
it,
when JR is on,
it's cool.
You hear the last thing you hear JR doing say, like, yo, dang, I mean this.
What I would for them then is I would only hold him for pay per views then. That's when I would utilize him.
Okay.
I wouldn't utilize him every week, because every week I'm sitting here like, He's going to bury somebody this week. Now I've been rotating. I like that this week they put Colt on commentary because he has done commentary for a long time for ROH, so it made sense. He sounded good on commentary. Ooh. Colt Cabana.
He's on commentary.
Yeah. Oh. He was during that match, during the Dark Order Omega match.
No wonder why it had like a little sosone on it.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Well, he's Jewish, so he got like culture salt.
Kosher. Yeah, makes sense. Okay, gotcha. Anything else this week that jumped out at you before I go and then we sign off?
Well, Big E potentially getting a push. Also, MVP being the MVP
every fucking week.
No pun intended.
And Seth, I think Seth is doing a phenomenal job. I mean, wrestling was pretty good. Definitely enjoying EC3. Shout out to EC3. Put something on his Instagram. I'm going to make this quick because we got to go. How somebody ordered one of his shirts, and he saw the address. He was like, yo, I'm driving through this town. And then he went to the dude's house.
That's dope.
And dropped it off at the door, the dude's crib. He knocked on the dude's door, like, and the dude's
like, I'd have been like, what the fuck?
What the fuck? Like, what you? He's like, oh my God.
Whoa.
Oh my God. Because he said that a lot of EC3's promos got him out of depression and stuff like that. Like, when he was back in Impact, he's like, I've been a fan ever since then. And he pulled up in the guy's house.
That's wild.
Dropped off the shirt, took a picture with homeboy as well. And if you watch EC3's, like, promos on his IG, it's absolutely some of the best stuff I ever heard. Yeah,
he's good.
In such a long time. But it's also, like, motivating as well, because it's, like, his constant hashtag is create your own narrative.
Yeah.
And it's like the dopest thing in the world. But that's really stuck out to me this week.
Oh, I'm putting on MJF for stealing EC3 gimmick for back in the day from quote unquote being like a whole presidential candidate.
Oh, he's been stealing gimmicks someday. Yeah.
We're
not gonna get into that.
Yeah. Somebody told me about buying a shirt, MJF's new shirt, and I was like, nah, I can't support that.
Nah.
Shout out to Darius Carter.
Shout out to Darius Carter.
Oh, he's stealing people's
love
gimmick.
You.
First, he's still
love you,
from
DC.
Darius. Now you're stealing from EC3. Come on, B.
All right. I'll go real quick. First one. No one really talked about it this week. I saw on Facebook yet from last night. But Keith Lee's promo to Killer Kross by far was probably one of the best promos. And Keith done been racking up on the promos. Keith, though, that was by far the... I got chills. I had goosebumps. Because I was like, oh, shit. Like, he said... What do you call him? Oh, fuck. What did he cussed at him? Did he say asshole or something? He was cussing on TV. They bleeped it. I was like, oh. I was in the Uber watching the clip. I was like, oh, he said that? Oh my God, I'm so proud of you, Keith. So I'm really excited for the, and I like the fact that Real and Regal even intervened and said, like, listen, opportunities are gained, they're not given. So if you think you're gonna get if you're gonna get Karrion Kross versus Keith Lee anytime soon, think again type of thing. I was like, yes, put your foot on the table. So I liked the promo. Impact, once again, really excited about Heath Slater versus Moose next week. If Heath wins, then he gets an Impact contract, which I think is really dope. And then I actually like the Wrestle House thing they're doing on Impact. It's so stupid, but it's funny. So I'm entertained by that. Like, honestly speaking, Impact for me, these days are on the up and up for me. And then on the AEW side, once again, one of the only things I really enjoy with AEW is the Dark Order. Luke Harper, I don't care what you say. Him as the head leader of the Dark Order is the dopest thing. And my favorite thing is how protective he is of Colt. I think it's the dopest thing because he'll get him away from all like the drama, and then he'll go ham and be like, then he had all his like Dark Order like minions come around the ring and jump them. Like, I was just like, yo, I live for this. And the one thing, and before we sign off, the one thing I appreciated Luke Harper said was to Kenny Omega. He was like, oh, great of you to finally show up, Kenny. I was like, damn.
Shout out to The Miz, and he said like WWE prepares you for everything.
So yeah, so it definitely shows. I once again, the whole Cody TNT Open Challenge shit is just, I don't know, whatever.
Guys that have wrestled in 6 months.
Like my issue, no, I mean, to be fair, we live in the pandemic, wrestling schools are not open, gyms are not open.
How bad do you want it?
I get it. But regardless, like, if you can't get in a ring and prepare yourself, you're just not, it's just not going to,
hey,
not gonna,
if you know they're going to bring this guy in,
it's not going to work
sure
out.
Come in a couple of days, get some reps in, something.
But once again, I just don't know where they're going with the whole title run for him. Like, I, at this point, it's like, listen, if Zack Ryder comes in and, you know, everyone knows they're buddy-buddy, but if Zack pulls the heel card on him and takes the title from him, I would appreciate that.
Because Zack would, after he elevates to the next level,
I would appreciate that. So, but once again, my issue with the TNT title, like, I don't know if it's, I don't know what it is. I don't know its true purpose at this point, besides it being just for Cody. Like, I don't get it. So I need AEW to figure that shit out. Anything else before we do go? No, yes, maybe so.
Nah, I think we're good.
Shout out to me. Please check out
this nigga. Did you just shout out yourself?
Yes. You know,
smidge selfish of you, but I understand.
I'm shouting out Mr. Block.
First of all, I shouted you at the beginning of the show.
I gotta tell people tomorrow. Is anything else, right? We ended the close. Please check out tomorrow's episode.
Please.
You know, I'm interviewing a 22-year-old CEO of his own company. Please check that out. It will be on YouTube by the time you hear this. It should be available.
All right. So once again, check out the Mr. Black Show along with all of our other network shows. Cats and Dogs did not record this week, but they will be back so you can listen to past episodes. Your Sports, once again, you can take a look. And After the Year with Dre and Matthew, I think it's really good that they getting together and doing some postings, which is really cool. And also new to the network, Talk of Champions. Shout out to Shantice. She's the real reason why I'm watching. I'm watching all the fall Brawl for Alls this week. I promise you, sis, I'm getting through it because it's hilarious. And then the episodes all lead to like that SummerSlam where it was Austin versus Taker. So it all makes sense.
Highway to Hell?
Yeah. Because first it's Fully Loaded and then it's SummerSlam. But anyway, next week we'll be back.
Yeah.
Same time, same place. As always, I'm Janelle from HR here with Sir Wilkins and Mr. Black. #BlackExcellence #WeAreOut.
All right, peace, guys.